Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast hosted by Styles UK. We are the UK's only single source supplier for screen printer transfers, DTF transfers, digital full colour transfers, heat presses, vinyl, and of course, all of your heat print education. Today, Andy and I are thrilled to be joined by Laura from Mantis World.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Good, good. We're super excited to have you. And we've got a lot in store for today's episode. We're going to be talking all about the baby wear market, how you can print, why you should print, how it can increase your business. So we've got a lot to cover, haven't we?
We really do, yeah. It's kind of a big untapped market. I think a lot of decorators are maybe a bit anxious about getting into, so I'm here to relieve those anxieties.
Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about your sort of journey in the industry and how you came to be at Mantis World and what your role is there now?
Yeah, so I'm the UK sales manager. I've been at Mantis for 7 years. I started out as the brand ambassador, and then I was promoted at the start of this year to sales manager.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And you know, my journey before this, I didn't come from within the industry. I started really pretty fresh out of university, but I'd been doing sales jobs and doing selling at wholesale, doing B2B, selling. I used to sell popcorn out of a transit van around Birmingham. That was my first ever proper sales job. And then I just kind of accidentally fell into the industry. And I think, you know, I'd studied art and design at university with a real emphasis on both textiles and screen printing. So it was just really fortuitous that this job came up that was selling at wholesale, but also, in textiles and working predominantly with decorators as well. So, my job is really to take care of our UK distributors, but also to make sure that our customers have all of the information that they need in terms of decoration advice, but also the special thing about Mantis is we're one of the original makers of organic printwear. So we started making organic clothing back in 2005. As one of my colleagues always says, before it was cool. We were doing organic before it was cool.
That's a good thing to be able to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There are sort of all of these milestones that we've hit. So, the most recent one being that we became B Corp certified in November. Which is, really just a culmination of 24 years of very hard work by the people in Mantis to, just cultivate the best possible business practice, but also ultimately make a really great, high-quality product that decorates well. I think, a big part of my role is also educating customers on, what is GOTS, what is Ercotex, what is all of these different certifications that a few years ago were relatively far and few between, and now you're seeing them everywhere, and now you're getting customers asking for them, and they can be the difference between winning, a tender and not, whether you've got this very specific set of certifications. So I think that, my job has always been very sales heavy, but I think the educational side is also really important and always has been, and increasingly so.
I think what you said there about customers asking for certain things now when they place the order, that's probably not something that was ever really a big deal in the past, whereas because everything's so out in the open now and everybody is so aware of it, which is a good thing, but they are asking for it, and if you can help them provide that, then that's really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things I did want to get you to talk about in a bit more detail, and seeing as you've mentioned it, we may as well talk about it now, is what the B Corp certification actually means, because we mention it, but I don't think our listeners would be too up to date on what it is. So could you talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, so basically the B Corp certification is a standard based on company and business culture, but also based on, some key sort of, some key factors of how businesses are being run. So other companies that have it, I think the easiest way to describe it is by talking about the other companies that have it. So for example, Patagonia have it. Everyone knows Patagonia is the gold standard of ethical business and also craftsmanship and quality. Lush have it as well, another kind of famously ethical business. It's a multi-industry certification, so any business can get it, which makes it very different to any of the other certifications we hold. And it also means that we have to recertify every, I think every three years. We have to basically reapply. So, you know, with our other certifications, we get audits done, of course, and, you know, if we don't pass the audit, then they'll send us through the things that we have to change, and we'll have to get them sorted, and you know, our suppliers have to do the same thing, and so on and so forth. With B Corp, if you don't recertify, or if you don't pass the recertification, they take it away from you.
Forever, or...?
I think you can reapply after a certain amount of time.
Okay, but they're pretty strict on who they give it to.
They're very strict on it. And there are companies in the UK, quite big companies, who have gotten it and then have had it taken away from them with quite a lot of publicity. So as far as the certification process goes, I've never known a more invasive process, very invasive, especially for us as a small independent brand. They were looking into, you know, the personal finances of the people at the top of the company, and, you know, where it just goes far beyond any other process that we've gone through. And it's about us as a company. It's about our company culture. You know, you can put all of this time and effort into making a really nice product using organic cotton, but if the people within the company are, you know, feeling terrorized, that's not an ethical company. So I think that, you know, it covers a lot of bases, and it puts us in a very unique category of businesses now. The other thing about it that is different is that we've had to change the legal framework of the company so that we are now legally responsible to fulfil on the promises that we've made. So, like I said, whereas with some of the other certifications where they'll say, oh, you know, you haven't done X, Y, Z, just, you know, make sure you get it done. And so I think that there's a lot more putting your money where your mouth is with it, essentially.
So there is complete confidence when people purchase Mantiswell products or Baby Bugs products that they have got that ethical...
Yeah,
backing behind it.
Exactly.
Completely.
And it's about the ethics, and it's about the environmental as well, because they're two, you know, sisters, not twins, so to speak, as things that people should be taking into account when they are buying stuff, when they're manufacturing stuff, is, you know, the environmental side, are you making as smaller impact as you can, but also the ethical side, are the people being treated fairly, being paid well, are they working in safe conditions? Because those two things can happen in isolation of one another, but it's better that they happen together.
And I suppose people can sort of see one and assume that that's the case for the other one as well,
yeah,
and group them together and go, oh, well, that's fine. And
yeah, and then, you know, I think this is the interesting thing about GOTS, for example, is that GOTS does cover both the environmental and the ethical standards, but there are other certifications that cover one or the other. And so... It's better to have sort of a wider range, but also to just look into these things and just make sure that you know that, yes, they're looking at, you know, carbon output, for example, but they're not auditing factory standards. So it's, you know, you've got to look into these things and kind of understand, like, where your priorities are, but also, like, what ultimately the best combination of those certifications are. But the B Corp certification covers us as a company rather than covering the product, and that's what sets it apart from our other certifications. You know, the product has obviously come into question during the process of applying for it, but whereas something like GOTS is looking at the organic cotton, you know, percentage or whatever, it's not looking at that. It's looking at us as a company, us as a business, and, you know, are we putting purpose over profit, essentially?
So that's the ethical side of it. From an environmental point of view, obviously Mantiswell products are vegan.
Yes.
Before we sat down to record this podcast, we had a few conversations about what we wanted to talk about, what we wanted to touch on for the listeners. And one of the things that you mentioned that stuck with me was that people are often quite apprehensive about starting to decorate onto these types of products. Now, do you think it's because of the market, or do you think it's because the products are made slightly differently to others in the market? What do you think that sort of hesitation comes from?
I think it comes from quite a few different places. I think that for some people, it's just not necessarily knowing any babies and not kind of, you know, like, I don't have kids, and I've become, you would say, probably a little desensitized to babies' clothes because I'm around them all the time. But I have to kind of say to people, you know, if you've got all of this machinery and you're just doing stuff one-offs when you have, you know, an employee who's going on maternity leave, or, you know someone that's having a baby and you just want to do a one-off, like, you've got this machinery and you might as well be getting the most use out of it. And you can, you know, knock these things up very, very quickly, very cheaply, and get them, you know, onto your social media, do something, and have fun with it. And people start to see movement in a way that they weren't anticipating. So I think that a lot of it is just maybe not necessarily understanding, like, the opportunities that are there. The other side of it is I do think it makes people nervous because, obviously, you're dealing with higher standards in terms of safety. And, you know, for us as a manufacturer, our architects, for example, we have to have the highest grade of clearance on architects because we're, you know, dealing with very sensitive skin. And you have to test all the poppers, and there's, you know, no nickel in any of our poppers because I think it's saying like 1 in 100 babies have a nickel allergy. I'm not 100% sure on those figures. I think it's 1 in 100. But, you know, it's not something that I, as both, you know, a person without kids, but also just as, you know, a normal person, I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't, even if you had kids. They're not exactly the kind of things that you would think about when purchasing the clothes, are
exactly
they?
Exactly. And, you know, when I look at Architects in particular, which is our standard that looks at all of the fabric testing, when I look at the things they have to test for, it's no wonder people are so anxious because, like, it's pretty gross, actually. Some of the stuff that goes into more conventional clothing, it's pretty gnarly. And so I think that I can understand those anxieties as well, that people just don't want to put themselves in a position where, you know, they're open to liability, I guess. And also I think maybe some people just don't think it's very cool. I think there's a lot of that as well.
Do you think the market is under or oversaturated in terms of people selling printed garments? Because if you go on to Etsy, for example, there are lots and lots of people selling those kind of custom baby grows, rompers, bibs, etc.
Yes.
But then at the same time, if there are people that have those hesitations, does that leave a slight gap in the market for people that do have the time and the effort to actually research behind what they're printing?
I think that there's an oversaturation on certain types of products, but I think that if you are able to come up with an original idea, do something fun, do something that's niche, then you will find very quickly that stuff will fly. As long as you're promoting yourself properly and using social media, and, you know, I think that influencer marketing as well has played a big role in with some of our customers and how they've grown their businesses in the last few years. I mean, I had a moment when this would have been during the pandemic, I think, so probably 2021, and a customer of mine who I have to say, even to this day, I do not know who the customer was, sent one of our denim jackets, one of our baby denim jackets, to a very famous influencer, put her son's name on the back, and the influencer posted it on her Instagram story, but didn't tag the people that sent it to her, but tagged us in it instead because he had the Baby Bugs care label in it and the decorator hadn't taken that out. We all woke up in the morning to 2,000 new followers on Baby Bugs. We had messages from people being like, can I order this in a 12 to 18 months with Brendan on the back? And we had to be like, that's not the sort of business we are. I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to try and find out who sent this to the woman. Couldn't get through to her. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to have to send a list of people I know that are doing basically the same thing. And I know that from those customers that I sent to, you know, all of those inquiries that came through to us, all of them, the denim jacket went to their bestseller for the month. And that's a 24-hour Instagram story. And that was the point where we were like, oh, there's actually a lot of scope here to work with some of these people, especially on baby wear, because they all have such huge and very loyal followings and people with disposable income, it would seem. And so I think if you can do something that, you know, strikes a chord with people, but also promotes it in the right way, there's no reason why you can't see growth in a way that maybe you hadn't anticipated.
I suppose that's quite a specific, I was going to say, from a cost point of view, you said, oh, it went to the top of their bestseller list. Mm. I suppose baby wear, in a way, is slightly cheaper than adult wear as well. So it's maybe something that people are more likely to spontaneously go, oh, I'll get that as a one-off or from the decorator as a treat for someone else rather than a brand new jumper for themselves that they're like, oh, do I need that this month? I'm not sure. Yeah. But if it's for their child, they're probably more inclined to buy it.
I think as well, I mean, the one thing that always actually really surprises me, even after 7 years of doing this, isn't even necessarily how much money people are willing to spend on their own kids, but how much people are willing to spend on other people's kids. So, like, grandparents and, you know, aunties and uncles.
That's
and
the market right there, the grandparents.
Absolutely. I mean, like, we've seen, you know, it's a slightly different market, but with music merchandise, we've done stuff in the past for bands because one of our best-selling two styles, which are these two here, the bodysuit and the T-shirt, we do them in black, and it's not something you can buy, really, on the high street, black baby wear. I remember telling my nan that black was our second best-selling colour in baby wear, and she was horrified, absolutely horrified. But a lot of that is because of music merchandise. And, you know, we've done stuff in the past for bands who, the sort of people that are going to see them, the sort of people that can afford to go and see them, are people that have disposable income and also have grandkids. So, like, those are the markets to be aiming for, rather than necessarily the parents, because also the parents are the ones that are, like, you know, they're the ones that are going to be more careful with their spending. And also they're looking more towards, you know, your 12 to 18 months in just, like, the cheapest, you know, bodysuits that you can get off and put in the wash and have on, like, a full rotation when you're in the thick of parenting. But the fun stuff, that's all grandparents, 100%.
I think the one that was kind of jumping to mind as we're talking about this as well is, like you were saying earlier about, you know, you've got the equipment, you know how to decorate onto clothing. I mean, we've decorated onto Mantis stuff for years and it's easy.
Thank you.
Like, well, it is though, isn't it? That's like tick, tick, tick. But I was thinking, you know, we always tell our customers that, you know, look for the chimneys, look for what's on your doorstep. And Normally we're talking, like, you know, workwear, how many manufacturing places there are, because that's bread and butter stuff. You know, you go and, like, yeah, I needed three polos, I need a high vis and things like that. But I don't think there's any reason you can't apply the same logic as well to babywear. Like saying music merch, if you're doing the adults music merch, do the kids music merch.
Exactly.
But, like, you know, but because it's an emotional buy for a child, but it could be that actually, like, I don't know, why don't you approach every nursery within a certain mile radius and say, do you want to have custom T-shirts? So it's like a kind of school uniform of sorts, but it doesn't have to have any rules applying to it.
Precisely.
It could be a fun thing, and you could recycle them every couple of months as the children grow. They'll grow out of them. So it's you know, with one born every minute, and they're always growing and growing and growing. It's not like a... No, you have good quality T-shirts, but some T-shirts you're like, well, I expect them to last for 3 or 4 years. With the kids one, you're like, if it lasts 3 months, I'm happy. Like, it could be 5 wears. But if it's a good quality, it'll be get worn and worn and worn. But it's, there's an opportunities there within what's on your doorstep, I think.
And I think it's kind of, you've touched on a really good point there, which is, you know, there is a certain irony to me talking about all of these, you know, issues of sustainability, and then, you know, you're making a product that, generally speaking, babies grow really, really fast. And, you know, a lot of the people that are buying stuff for newborn babies are buying 0 to 3 months or 3 to 6 months. And babies now, by the time that they're 3 months old, they're, like, getting bigger. Like, babies are getting bigger, right? And so it's, there is this kind of balance that we've had to strike about how do we make sure that we are manufacturing something responsibly that is going to last. And, like, I'm the youngest child in my family, so I never had any new clothes of my own. And I think that the personalization trend that we've seen in the last few years has maybe done some damage to the hand-me-down kind of culture. So I think that I've seen customers change their way of going about personalization. So rather than going with a first name, going with, like, a last name, Baby Smith.
Yeah.
Or I think with mini-me trends as well, you know, big sister, little sister, rather than it being names, because then, you know, if you have another baby, you can get the big sister, little sister jumpers back out and everything's great. So I think that there are ways of making it more sustainable. And also, as you said, I mean, the quality is ultimately the most important thing in that, because you can wash it. You can wash it at a hot temperature, because babies are generally quite messy, and you still have a really great product at the end of that you can reuse over and over again until the point where, you know, you can't. You've got no one left to wear it. So, and I think that there is a lot of low-hanging fruit out there. As you said, you know, nurseries are a really great example. Merchandise is a great example. I speak to people who are doing workwear where they say, oh, you know, I did like a mini version of a quarter sip. You know, we do a baby quarter sip. Oh, I did a mini version for, you know, the boss's son with the company name on it. And people loved it so much that they started asking me for, like, you know, oh, I want one, I want one. And it's the same with baby grows. And you can do it so easily and make a real impact for a very low cost. And like you said, Molly, you know, it's lower in terms of the initial investment than it would be on adult wear. There's no VAT on baby wear either, so it really is low. And you don't have to go nuts. Like, you can start with a bib, you can start with, you know, just a T-shirt, and go from there before you start looking at, you know, denim jackets and all of the sort of additional extras that you can put into that. But it's all very easy to get into, and like you said, very easy to decorate, and it's been designed that way.
Yeah, and I think as well, for the ones, the people that are coming at this from more from a brand angle, so perhaps you're starting a brand around baby wear and you're decorating it yourself or for someone else, is that if you have a good quality product, people are going to want to come back to you time and time again because it's something that parents can trust. They
exactly.
know that their child enjoys wearing it, they feel comfortable wearing it, they look cool wearing it.
Yeah.
But they could go through each sizing. They went, no, I want to keep coming back to the Mantis World product because I know it's good quality, it washes nice, it's probably easier to get stains out of it, I would assume, because it's built better.
Yes.
But they'll keep wanting to come. So you could have a customer or a customer's customer from 0 to 21 years old and onwards, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty macabre way of putting it, but we have designed our collection so that people can wear it from birth to death, essentially. It is something that over the last few years we've really tried to streamline our collection down. This kind of applies a bit more to adult wear, that you do have colour matched across all of the age ranges, core styles that, you know, when I first started, I'd go and see printers and they would say, oh, I'm buying BZO2 T-shirts and then I'm buying this kid's T-shirt by a different brand because it's the closest I can get in colour, and I buy this T-shirt from another brand in the adults version, but I have to buy this one in the men's and this one in the women's because the colours aren't exact. And so a few years ago, we decided, no, we'd just consolidate everything down to, you know, one supplier, essentially, and have all of the fabrics coming out the same place so that there is no inconsistency. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of inconsistency, but within tolerance, so that you do have a full family of products that everyone can wear, and you have, you know, a one-stop shop, essentially.
I suppose that's quite a good way to look at it from if people are selling children and, like you said about the whole mini-me, the mama, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Baby wear is a great market to get into, but if you're selling that and you're selling it to parents or grandparents or aunties, uncles, etc.,
yeah.
they are probably the ones that are more likely to buy, I don't know, the mama present as well,
for sure.
buy the matching T-shirt. And we talk a lot about how to increase your profits with your current customer base rather
yeah.
than going out and looking for lots of new customers, which is great as well. We're not against everyone getting new customers.
Love new customers.
Love new customers. Keep them coming. But if you can increase your profits from your current
for
customer
sure.
base, then that's just an easy way to increase business revenue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people over the last few years who have been having babies. And I sometimes get a sense from, especially new mums, that, like, everyone buys presents for the baby, no one buys presents for the mum.
I had this exact same thing, yep. So my cousin had a baby recently, and I say recently, about 6 months ago, and my mum did the whole, oh, all the baby presents, and I
yeah.
looked at her and I just went, you need a self-help hamper. So I made her like a big self-help hamper with like a mama jumper in it.
Yeah.
And she appreciated that so much.
Absolutely.
Right? I think you're right, there's definitely a market for that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the way that the trends are moving anyway. I think, you know, like I said, social media is such a powerful driver of trends in this market. And the more you see people, you know, dressed in identical clothing to their kids and their husbands and everyone's, I think the Christmas pajama trend has a lot to answer for.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it's just spiraled wildly out of control. And it is a nice break from Hindu t-shirts and those sort of more, this is stuff that you can make in a way that it doesn't have to be done cheaply. Like, it's not a promotional product, it's not a one wear kind of thing. It's something that people really cherish, and, you know, it's about the memories, right? It's about being able to have that picture of you all wearing your matching Bretons and being like, isn't that funny that we're all wearing Bretons? Like, that's one to bring up on your kids' wedding days and be like, look at this picture of all of us dressed the same.
I think the quality aspect of it comes in there as well, because like you say, it's nice to look back on a picture, but if you have something that gives you that nostalgic feeling when you put it back on,
absolutely,
and it's of a quality that's going to last, you will keep it for a very long time.
Exactly, yeah. And so I think, you know, there's so much opportunity out there, but it is just for people to recognise those markets, recognise that low-hanging fruit, recognise it within their existing customer base, and just offer it. Just try it. And it's pretty low risk in the grand scheme of things. In comparison to a lot of other things in this industry, it's very low risk.
So is there any particular sort of design or combination of products that you see succeeding in the market at the moment? Anything your customers are doing and you're like, oh, that really works?
So I think that the baby wear market still, despite having this kind of emotional, impulsive aspect to it, I think that a lot of people are still very value-driven. And I think that this idea of bundling products together, everyone kind of wins when you do that, because it's just additional margin for everyone, basically. And then for the person at the end, they don't have to go out and they don't have to buy the bib and the hat and the blanket as well as the bodysuit. Like, they have a fully realised gift that's, you know, all made in the same place and has, you know, the same consistency of material and hasn't been kind of cherry-picked from lots of different suppliers. So that is something that I think works for everyone. There are some really unique ways of doing it. It's something I'm increasingly seeing people get very creative with how they're, because I think they're trying to stand out in the market. There's one company that they make like bouquets. They like fold up like baby t-shirts so that they look like roses, and then they put them like together into like a bouquet, and so you've kind of got a bundle, but it looks like a bouquet of flowers.
I saw that, but with chocolate.
Yeah,
people do that with sweets and stuff,
yeah,
as well, don't
yeah, yeah,
they?
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's obviously working for them. So I think if you can do something creative like that, people love something like that. People love something that's a bit different. And again, it's not necessarily people buying it for their own kids. It's being able to go to the baby shower and being like, look what I bought. I bought the best gift
that
here.
That is so true.
And I think that actually applies across the board for a lot of baby wear. Is, you know, there are kind of elements of bragging rights, like, you know, what did Auntie Laura bring for this baby?
I bet the expectations are high for you, seeing
actually,
as the industry that you work in.
I'm incredibly pragmatic about it, actually. I tend to give people, like, so bad. I said to, when my cousin had her babies, I said, like, everyone is going to get you 0 to 3 month stuff. Your babies are going to be in them for 2 weeks, and then you're going to have nothing. You're going to have nothing that's maybe 12 months onwards. So I'm going to give you now 20... white baby grows in, what was that? I think it must have been 18 to 24 months I gave to her, because I said, no one's going to buy these for you. And in 18 months' time, you're going to be so grateful that you've got this. And then when she had her second baby, I did the same thing again, but I think I did it with a discontinued colour.
Hey, they're never going to know.
Yeah. So, the expectations are very low, but, you know, I have some contacts, and I have some customers that do really wonderful stuff with our products, and I love seeing it out and about. And, you know, I did have a moment recently where I was in a Nando's, and there was a family sitting on the table next to me, and they were wearing one of our mini-me styles that they'd bought from a customer of mine in Birmingham. And they were all wearing the Bretons, and there was someone from every generation around the table. And the person I was with, I was like, would it be weird if I took a picture? And he was like,
Yes, absolutely, it would be weird.
They're like, yeah, they don't know your role in this story.
Yeah. You can't be taking pictures of people's kids in public. It's weird. I was like, but it's our product. And he was like, no.
Just slide them a business card and go, would you like to do a shoot with us? Do like the official brand deal?
Yeah, someone paid you to be here because this is a bit, just a bit too much of a coincidence. So seeing stuff like that, it's really lovely to see. And when you see it, like, actually, like, out in the wild, it's fantastic.
It proves that it actually is a profitable side of the business, though, isn't it? Because we can sit here all day and talk about how to do it and why people should, but people at home could be listening and watching this thinking, yeah, but is it actually going to profit? Are people actually going to buy it?
Exactly. And, you know, I think that there's always this aspect, there are so many facets of the printwear industry that rely on this idea of repeat custom, you know, corporate wear, work wear, the merchandise. People get very sort of set in their ways of, this is the product I like because it decorates well, because it washes well. And I have the same customer and they come back to me once a year and they order X amount. And that's it. There's no diversion from that. And that's great. I mean, it's part of the reason why the business is, why the industry is so successful, is because people are making really great products that fit their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting in a bit more of a open space where, first of all, we are trying to say to people to buy less stuff and to buy better quality, which again is maybe a bit counterintuitive considering the nature of the industry that we're in. But it is the way that things are moving, unfortunately, and I think that there's not a lot of getting away from that. I think that customers and brands are starting to take that very seriously. But also, I think that people are really loyal to companies like Baby Bugs because of exactly what you were saying about the reliability, about being trustworthy. There are, of course, there are other brands that have baby wear in their collection, but really in terms of focused baby wear, we're not in a crowded market at all. And a lot of that is because we're very dedicated to it. And it's not just an add-on for us. You know, it's really, I would say we're probably more well-known for our baby wear than we are for anything else, especially for these two. I always call these two the mortgage payers. Everything else is just for fun.
For everyone watching YouTube, I'm just going to hold up. So which one is this that we have?
So this is the BZ10.
totally forgot about that.
This is the BZ10. So this is our baby bodysuit. It's got an envelope neckline. It comes in a ton of colours. I think we're up to 26 colours now. You know, with baby wear, we can have, I was saying this to you both earlier, with baby wear, we can have a lot more fun when it comes to colours because the trends don't move as fast as they do for adult wear on the high street, and we really try to not be too trend-driven, which is difficult because we are more fashion-orientated in terms of when we bring out adult styles. Also, as part of actually our B Corp journey, one of the things that we've promised is that any product we bring in, any SKU we bring in, has got to have a shelf life of at least 5 years. So bringing stuff in and then dropping it because it's not working is not an option for us anymore, which is great for baby wear because we can really go nuts on fun colours, but still nice retail colours.
It's very cute.
Very cute.
Very cute.
But yeah, this is our second bestseller. The t-shirt is the biggest seller. I think with the t-shirt, you know, you've obviously got a much, this goes up to 2 to 3 years in certain colours, so you've got a much larger audience, literally. Actually. So you can get a lot more people wearing t-shirts. Bodysuits are very baby orientated, whereas with t-shirts I think you can have a lot more sort of freedom in terms of the sort of markets you're selling them into. And again, you've got the nickel free poppers at the top, lots of colors. It's a really great t-shirt actually. And again, we've been selling these for a long time. We've sold millions of them over the years. I would imagine quite a lot of babies have spent a lot of time in our garments, not just people who are the kids of Mantis World employees, but they are tried and tested. And it's one of the benefits as well of being a smaller company is that when we do get feedback on product, and that is on the decoration front, it's on the quality front, anything to do with that, it gets to the top so, so quickly and it can be rectified very quickly. And there's not a great deal of bureaucracy internally. So it means stuff gets sorted really quickly. And again, as I said earlier, there's just no room for making mistakes when it comes to baby wear anyway, because you don't want to be that company, basically.
So yes, I think that these are the two that I would always recommend people, you know, start with and go from there, because they're easy.
So for people that are listening and they're like, Laura, this is a fantastic idea, I'm going to start decorating baby wear. Obviously, there's a couple of great places to start, but what else should they be looking for? I mean, we're going to be making some videos today, so if you just subscribe to our YouTube channel, you will see some of the other styles. But for anyone that's like, I really want to get started today, what should they look for? We spoke before we started recording about, you know, access, zips, things like that. What else should people be looking for when they're trying to put together a range of baby clothes to perhaps go and present to some of their customers?
So I would say, obviously, it depends on who your customers are. But if you are already making something for your customers in an adult version, see if you can find a baby version of it. Because the smaller something is, the more people go, oh my God, that's so cute. You know, when I do road shows and when I do, you know, P&P or whatever, we always take the smallest sizes with us because they have the most impact. And if you can hold up a tiny quarter zip and then like an extra large quarter zip and they are exactly the same, people love it. People go nuts for it. And so if you can basically provide that experience for your customer, that's really going to provoke something in them. I would also look at colour trends and just kind of have a sense of what, if you're dealing with customers who are using a particular colour in their own branding, seeing if you can find something that's a close match for that, or, you know, a base colour, then you can apply a decoration that, you know, and it looks really cool. And I really can't stress this enough, just try and do something a bit different, try and do something quirky. People love something that's like funny, tongue-in-cheek. I've seen so much cool stuff over the years, and sometimes you do see the same design kind of pop up in different places, especially on places like Etsy and on the high street and stuff like that. But sometimes I see something and I'm just like, oh, that's so out there, and I can absolutely imagine myself buying that for someone. A lot of corporate merchandise can be really cool, and I think that if you can get people's attention and kind of play into that, then it's a real recipe for success.
I'm going to spin the question round and I'm going to ask you a question, Andy.
Okay.
So we were don't look scared. So obviously the method for success of printing baby wear is very important, and we discuss the types of products, the colours, the trends, etc. But when it comes to the actual decoration, and we won't talk too much on this because, like you said, we are going to create a lot of videos that show people how to decorate the garments. But there's transfer technology has come a long way in the last year, 2 years in itself. So what would you recommend the best transfer, or even vinyl, depending on what the person's aiming for, decoration method to be in collaboration with the Mantis World products?
I think for me, a lot of the vinyl is Okotex approved that we have. So that would be a good place to start. So depending on where you're coming from, what your brand messaging is, what your sort of status is, what you want to approach people with, if you'd like to have an Okotex approved, with an Okotex approved, heat transfer vinyl is probably the best place to start, because so much of our range is Okotex approved already, including the standard, what we call sports film extra, which is covers 56 colours, I think, now. And we have a stretchy version. So, you know, depending on what type of fabric is going on to, that could be a great place to start with. Alternatively, if you're looking for full colour options, I would say probably either the direct-to-film product we have or the ultra colour we have. Because it's so thin and smooth, we always pride ourselves on feeling like part of the garment, which is important. Is that hand feel for the kid that's wearing it is something that's not going to feel like uncomfortable, like they're wearing a big slab of transfer on them. They don't want that. They want it to be something that's comfortable and feels premium, much like the Mantis and Babybug stuff is. It's high quality. You're buying that because it's a special item, so you want to have something that feels special on it. So I think that would be a really good place to start. I would also perhaps tease, you know, this is coming out in a couple of weeks' time-ish, 2 or 3 weeks. Keep looking out for some of our new water-based technology that we're bringing in. So Ultra Colour is a digital hybrid, but it's a water-based ink, which, again, I know a lot of people are very particular about. We also have some new single-colour water-based transfers coming out, which I know that be a big hit for people with baby wear, just because they're great for Pantone matching, but they also have, the feel of them is so thin on the garment that it's basically just not there. So I think for me, it's all about testing a product so that it feels good. You know, so that it's really important is the, you know, when you want something that's going to last, you know, all our stuff will wash high, it will last a long time, it wash last for generations or, you know, many siblings, as you mentioned earlier, Laura. But I would say that go for the feel is a great place to start as well.
Cool, thank you. I just wanted to get that in there because we did discuss the decoration side of it before the podcast, and we did this whole thing, and I was like, oh, we haven't actually spoken about how to apply on them.
I mean, I think it's good. You know, it's there's so much choice now, like you said. I mean, the technology's come on leaps and bounds in such a short amount of time and really kind of revolutionized the way people are decorating our garments. And I think that if you can have something that has durability and flexibility, yeah, a few years ago that was a lot harder to get hold of, as easy as it is now. And so again, it's that longevity, and it's, you're choosing to decorate a responsibly sourced garment in a responsible way. And yeah, it's a win-win. Yeah.
Perfect. Does anyone else have anything they want to mention before we wrap up? I think we've kind of concluded on a good note there.
Yes, so. I think it's been really, really fascinating, Laura. I really enjoyed hearing more about this.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. It's been great.
No, we've loved having you. Thank you. You can come back more often. We'll do more. As Andy said, we are going to be recording lots of videos today on how to apply onto different baby products, how you can increase profits, how to get started, all of that good stuff. So if you do want to be the first to know about that, then make sure to subscribe to the Styles UK YouTube channel, and regardless of which platform you are watching this podcast on, please do subscribe on there as well. And we'll be back next week with another podcast episode.